Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for January the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two. Well, that's a lot of twos. On your radio, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the promotion of God, family, and country. It's all about the protection of life, liberty, and property. It's all about turning to God Almighty and returning to the solutions that our founding fathers put in place. It's all about the checks and balances. It's all about rejecting the idea with the word democracy and standing with the constitutional republic that Americans fought so hard for. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me to preserve the nation, his lifelong goal. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice again, the beginning of this week, and maybe everybody will be up and at them and ready for a, you know, kind of a productive week in the cause of liberty. Who knows?
Amen to that. We've got to say R.I.P. Rest in peace to a dear friend, Joe Ferguson. His funeral's today. He was a Patriots patriot, sir.
Indeed. Joe's been a great friend for decades, and he passed away. It's really interesting. During the time that I was asleep in a coma in the past few months, we had some notables pass away that were very much involved in our state in Liberty, and Joe was one of them. It's a sad passing, but, you know, Joe has gone on to his reward, and I'm pleased for him. You know, we say good for him. You know, those of us that are left behind can be sad and have a kind of a hole in our heart, if you will. But those that move on, I think, really do move on to a more glorious place, more wonderful, and a far better place than we are in right now.
Amen to that reality check. So our prayers are with Joe Ferguson's family, because even though we know that he's in a better place and we say good for him, a long life well lived, a patriot, the Patriots, a patriot among patriots, I should say. I mean, Joe was a super patriot, and he was kind of the fun-loving sense of humor curmudgeon is the way Joe kind of was. And he loved to be like that, and he was fun to be around and a hard worker and dedicated through and through to the sacred cause of liberty. But a couple of other notable patriots that passed away as well in Utah, as we mentioned. The Independent American Party was founded by a couple of different people. One of them was Will Christensen, who passed away as well. Another one was, what's his name, Wayne?
Wayne Hill.
Wayne Hill passed away as well, right?
Yes. I mean, it's astonishing how it, you know, a lot of people wondered if the Patriot movement wasn't being decimated by some nefarious scheme almost. It was so...
I still believe people are being targeted, though. And you can call me a conspiracy theorist, you can call me what you want, but the number of patriots, and especially if you've been publicly, you know, against vaccines, it's almost like they have a challenge to single you out and kill you with the virus, so then they can make fun of you and go, a non-vaccinated mocker of the vaccines is dead now because of the, you know, it's almost as if it's a game for these people. Now, I know that sounds a little extreme and sinister, and I don't have evidence and proof, but it just seems very interesting that anybody who criticizes the vaccines ends up super sick.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Contrary to what the lame brain media, that's my term for what a lot of people call the mainstream media, the lame brain media is making a big, you know, a big push to put the idea out that the only people that are getting sick are those that are unvaccinated. The only people in the hospital are unvaccinated. The only people that are dying are the unvaccinated. But there are some contrary positions out there that come from very credible sources that would indicate that virtually all of those that are sick and in the hospital and dying are those that are vaccinated. And you know, they, I don't know, I'm still... you know, again, it's hard to take scientific evidence. I don't have a lab to prove this in, but the Omicron seems almost to track with the, you know, the widespread use of the so-called vax. It's a gene therapy, you know, bio jab. But no, it's really weird. I got an interesting voicemail from South Africa towards the end of last week. It was all in Afrikaans. And I had to get it translated. I mean, it was really weird. And right now I'm looking for an exact source name and credential. And when I get that, Sam, I'll share it with you. I think it really needs to go viral, if you will. It was from an individual that claims to be a blood technician, something like that. They're doing blood work analysis. And the things that they're seeing in those that have been vaccinated is quite chilling. And again, I've got to get a complete wonderful source. I mean, it's going through a translation right now, and I certainly don't speak Afrikaans, but the message has to do with some really weird stuff that's happening in the blood, some really strange anomalies that seem to be health issues with those that have received the vaccine. And it even goes somewhat into the shedding issue. And this individual that left the message said that she's worked with these people that have the vaccine. She has had maladies settle upon her, but her experience has been that her recovery was much quicker because she has an untainted immune system, if you will. And so it's like one of those things I'm saying, holy cow, I got to document this, and I'm seeking that right now. But there's stuff out there blowing in the wind, if you will, that is kind of really gravely concerning about
To make your point, Dr. Bradley, now there's a headline that says women that are going on dating sites now are hiding their vaccination status.
Oh, interesting.
Because now we're finding out that, hey, the vaccines do manipulate a woman's cycle. And we have long said that it messes with fertility. Even Bill Gates, one of the agents that bring vaccines to the world, literally said they could be used for population control. But anyway, we said that it messes with a woman's cycle and that it can interfere with fertility. And they mocked us and laughed and said, no, there's no evidence of that. But now it turns out that they admit that it does mess with a woman's cycle. And now women are specifically on dating sites withholding their vaccination status because they're afraid that men who want a family won't date them if they believe they've been vaccinated, because then they believe that, hey, their ability to have children might be tampered with by the vaccines. This is the level that we've gone to, ladies and gentlemen. Also, this life insurance company, CEO, it's One America CEO, Scott Davison, he says that deaths are up 40%. Listen, working age people, ladies
right.
and gentlemen.
Exactly.
And they say, working age people, well, in 2020 was the year of the virus. 2021 was the year of the vaccines. He's saying that in 2021, these increased deaths are happening among a different age group. And you start to say, what's the difference? Answer, they've all been vaccinated. This is all happening, ladies and gentlemen, because the COVID vaccines are really depopulation bioweapons. All right? They're disguising it as a vaccine campaign, but the truth is you're literally living through a global holocaust, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the needle is the weapon delivery system, and the mRNA gene manipulation is the payload, doctor.
Well, it's interesting to me that this Afrikaans whistleblower, oh, that's what I call her, she said that what they're finding is it's kind of beyond every experience they've had in the years that she's been in this business. They're finding that an inordinate amount of women are carrying their babies to full term only to deliver a stillborn baby. I mean, so if the person was, pregnant and the baby seems to be going through the process fine, boom, gone. At the end of the pregnancy, the baby's dead. And we have had personal friends that have experienced that. Now, who knows what, all the connections are, because people are reluctant to talk about it, as you point out. And it's just a tragic situation, to carry a baby to full term only to deliver a dead baby. So, these kinds of things you have to say, wow. But the mainstream lame brain media is playing up the idea that all you unvaxxed people are just taking up all the rooms in the hospitals and there's no room for it. Now, wait. Hold on for just a second. So the vaccine and the booster, ultimately and finally, the concept behind vaccination is to prevent infection and to prevent spread of infection. And they say, we can't completely say that, but we'll say it's going to be less of a challenge. Well, there's other anomalies that are coming up, like the inflammation of the heart and the blood clots and the issues of the neuromuscular issues and autoimmune problems. And those things seem to be on the spike, right? Oh, spike protein? I don't know. Probably pun intended. But the fact of the matter is that there are things that are happening that people seem to kind of be, I don't know, they're just maladies.
Oblivious
suffering.
To.
Yeah, they are.
Oblivious to. But you know what? Here's what happens, though. When you experience it yourself, you start to change your views in a hurry. And that's the problem that they're experiencing. Let me give you an example. I've got a dear friend and family member who literally got sick, had symptoms. They had COVID before even. So they're getting it for the second time now. And they got these symptoms. They said, well, I'm sick. They didn't want to go to work. But they took 3 different COVID tests, and they all were negative. And the rules at the job says you got to go to work if your tests are negative. So they go to work. They come back the next day and take the 4th test, and it's positive. Who do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, the first 3 tests or the 4th one if you're sick? First 3 are negative. 4th one's positive, but you've been sick the whole time. But you've been forced to go to work? Huh?
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley with me. So we're seeing these things happen. And the problem is, so, you know, what do you believe? If you've had 3 negative tests, you're forced to go to work, you're sick, you go anyway, you come back, then you take another test, and it's positive. The tests are not reliable or trustworthy, folks. And we've told you that for literally 2 years. We told you that it came from a lab and it was intentionally released. The government told you, no, it came from a wet meat market. And, well, it was a year into it that they admitted the truth. That, hey, we don't even know. And it probably came from a lab. That's probably not correct. Well, Fauci knew it all along and lied. We were told lies on the masks. First, hey, you don't need a mask. That goes along with the science. Then he came back and said, well, you do need a mask. I said you didn't and lied because I didn't want you to take masks from the frontline workers. And then, you know, they finally said, well, you need a mask. Well, that goes against the scientific reality. Now, a year later, after all that lie and subterfuge, if you will, then they basically say, hey, Cloth masks don't do any good. Well, they've been telling everybody to wear cloth masks for 2 years now. Now they say they don't do any good. Then they say, hey, all we got to do is get vaccinated. We think 60, 70, 80% of the population, if they get immunity, we should be fine. Now you've got well over that. You've got 70% of the population vaxxed or more. And they say, well, you know what? Vax 1 didn't work. Vax 2 didn't work. Now you got to have a booster. And now they're debating having a boosted booster. And now they're debating changing the definition of fully vaccinated. It used to be if you had vaccination 1 and 2, you're fully vaxxed. Now you got to be fully vaxxed and boosted. And the bottom line is the vaccines aren't safe. They're not effective. They said that if you were vaccinated, you wouldn't be spreading it. Now we find out, hey, the way this person that I mentioned earlier about all those negative tests, the way they got sick was they got it from vaccinated people, and they're unvaccinated. And you look at that and you say, okay, so it's not stopping the spread. It's not stopping the illness. Well, you're not as ill. Well, how do you know if you're not as ill? Well, the next version of the virus is less, death-causing, less hospital-causing. It's more mild. Well, is it really because of the vaccine that everything's more mild, or is it because the variant is more mild? Okay, but they're playing games there. Now we find out from Fauci and crew in New York and everywhere else, they're starting to admit, hey, we've been telling you that hospitals are full of COVID patients. But now the debate, and Fauci admits, well, did you go into the hospital because of COVID, or are you in the hospital for another reason, but you just happened to have COVID? So you break your leg, you go in the hospital, they test you, and you're COVID positive. Well, now they say you went into the hospital because of COVID. Lies. And now we're finding out in New York and other places, it's up to 50% of the people who are in the hospital didn't even go there because of COVID at all. So that makes you now question the hospitalization numbers. Now you have a member of the Supreme Court getting caught lying, saying 100,000 children are in the hospital melting down on ventilators. Turns out there's less than 5,000 children nationwide even in the hospital. Like 3,500 or less, and most of them aren't even on ventilators, and most of them aren't even super sick. And now you go, they've been lying about every single thing all the way down to now. We don't even know if the hospitalization numbers are right. But that brings up the question about the death numbers. They say 800 plus 1,000 people are dead because of the COCO. It's horrible, unprecedented, it's awful. But then you got to ask yourself, how many died because of other comorbidities? In other words, how many people died that had COVID, but they died from something else versus how many people really died of COVID? And the answer is they have no idea. They have no idea. Okay, and we're supposed to trust these people as if they know? Okay, the Dr. Robert Malone, ladies and gentlemen, says this. He's one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccines. He's a pro-vaxxer guy. But he says, think twice before you vaccinate your kids. He warns parents on COVID-19 shots. Ben Carson says, why would we vaccinate our children when the vaccines are experimental and we don't know what the repercussions of that will be? And the likelihood of children getting way sick, hospitalized, and or dead from the COVID, especially with a milder variant, is so minimal. Why would we take the chance? Well, any doctor that says that, though, gets flat out shut down. Now, Aaron Rodgers, a well-known NFL player, Aaron Rodgers is ready to protest the NFL's COVID-19 policies. According to a report shared live on air, he's going to protest and not play. He might refuse to play in the Super Bowl if the Packers even get there. He says, back up Jordan Love, be ready to roll. Rodgers shares blunt and refreshing comments about authenticity. And here's what he says. I think this is really telling. If science can't be questioned anymore, then it's not science, it's propaganda. Dr. Bradley, on that note, take over here. Think about that. It isn't science, it's propaganda if you can't discuss it openly.
The litany of matters that you've just brought up draws into question every single piece. But I don't know, Americans aren't historians, and they don't look at the past to know what the future is. But 2,071 years ago today, an event occurred in Italy. Caesar crossed the Rubicon. It's a little river, and there was some debate where it was. We don't need to go into all of the ramifications of that. But the Senate had told him to disband his army up in Gaul and returned to Rome. And he came to the Rubicon River, and he crossed it with his 13th Legion. And that was 2,071 years ago today. And as he crossed the river, he said, the die is cast, or shortly thereafter getting across. And basically, it precipitated a civil war that destroyed the Republic in Italy. Now, what does that have to do with the vaccinations? Well, I wonder at what point we have crossed the Rubicon River. It was an idea that Caesar realized he couldn't go back. Once he had crossed that river, he was committed. I mean, this was going to have consequences. And I just can't help but wonder if we've crossed a Rubicon River in terms of our health, in terms of our ability to even survive as a humanity. I mean, it's so massively spread. Now, there are continents like Africa where a large portion of the people are refusing the jab. But I just have to wonder, you know, once you put this in your bloodstream, there's no going back. I mean, there's not a, oh, do this and it will expunge this from your body. Yeah, it'll cleanse you. You've got, you know, go stand in a sauna for a while and you'll sweat it out, whatever. So far as we know, you have inextricably woven into your DNA this new modified DNA, okay, this RNA shot. And you know, again, there's some discussion about shedding. And honestly, the CDC and these other organizations that are supposedly science-based years ago talked about the shedding concept on vaccinations. So it's not like it's a new concept. And some of us that say, golly, what's the deal? So shedding could actually spread it among the population that's not receiving the jab. But the fact that the Rubicon River was crossed 2,071 years ago does not mean that we are beyond crossing a boundary, that there is a point of no return. Caesar knew he was committing treason when he crossed that river. He knew that it would precipitate a civil war. He knew that ultimately and finally there would be an armed showdown. Well, maybe some of us need to think about what have we crossed so far. You know, it's interesting to me. Here almost 2 years ago, it was 96 weeks ago, I think, they said 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, now we're 96 weeks into that, and Salt Lake County Health Department has mandated, you know, another month, in essence, to flatten the curve. Do the people get the idea that nothing they have done up to this point has in any way, shape, or form? They're touting ideas like, oh, the infection rate is higher than it ever has been. The death rate's higher than, you know, there's reports that say that. I'm not sure that the death rate or the infection rate has been anywhere close to what they've touted all along. We have had almost 2 years of owing it awful. Utah declared a statewide emergency clear back in March, about first week in March of 2020, and we hadn't in the state of Utah experienced a single death related to the so-called COVID. And just shortly after Utah declared that, Trump declared a national state of emergency, which meant Utah had already opened their doors to get billions of dollars of federal funds. So all of this stuff, follow the money, follow the science, follow the remarks that are made by those in the most senior positions, whether it's the FDA, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, the World Health Organization, none of them have been brought to fruit as they have talked to us. When do we say enough is enough? I can't believe it.
Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Have we crossed the Rubicon? Have we crossed the vaccine Rubicon? Never able to return? Fair, open, honest questions on your radio with Dr. Scott Bradley.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Chicago Public Schools canceled classes for a fourth day in a row as Mayor Lori Lightfoot and the Chicago Teachers Union continue negotiating on potential reopening of city schools. Lightfoot accused the Teachers Union of abandoning kids and their families. The Chicago Teachers Union tweeted, "The union wants to reassure parents and guardians of Chicagoans that we will remain at the bargaining table until we reach an agreement." A major fire in a residential apartment building in the Bronx, New York City on Sunday left 19 people dead, including 9 children, in what Mayor Eric Adams described as one of the worst fires in the city's history. Fire Commissioner Dan Nigro.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say that my entire department mourns along with the families here today and our entire city. We're all about saving lives, and the loss of one life is sad for us, much less 19 lives.
USA Radio News.
If you're drowning in IRS tax debt, pay attention to this special announcement. There's a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. Get ready to take this number down to take advantage of the new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Here's Jesse from Las Vegas.
I've been so stressed out lately knowing that I owe the IRS over $22,000, and now they just garnished my wages. A friend of mine told me about Superior Tax Relief, so I called them, and they were able to stop the garnishment, and they were also able to help me with my other tax problems. I feel so free again, and I would definitely recommend Superior Tax Relief.
Call Superior Tax Relief now, 800-780-3910, and speak to a qualified professional who can protect you from the added fees and negotiate your tax liability. Superior Tax Relief can help open new doors with the IRS Fresh Start program that's available now. The consultation is free. The information is free. This call could save you thousands. Call 800-780-3910. 800-780-3910. That's 800-780-3910.
A Supreme Court justice is caught speaking misinformation.
Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is facing criticism for claims she made about COVID-19 and the Omicron variant during oral arguments against President Biden's federal vaccine mandates Friday. In one claim, she said over 700 million Americans were being infected with Omicron a day. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul sought to correct Sotomayor on Fox News.
Sotomayor ought to be ashamed of herself, and we need to correct the record. Omicron, if you look at the statistics, 75% less lethal. Now, there are enormous amounts of people getting this. Everybody in the country is getting this, but it's more like 700,000 to 800,000 a day, not 700 million.
Sotomayor also claimed that 100,000 children were in serious condition with the coronavirus, which legal and health experts say isn't true. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lies literally are everywhere about the COVID, the corona. The sad part is people are really getting sick. There's no doubt about it. And people are really dying. There's no doubt about it. But the question becomes, you know what? Is the Omicron or is the COVID worse or is the vaccine worse, ladies and gentlemen? 2071 years ago today, Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon. Have we crossed the vaccine Rubicon? Are we past the point of no return? What do you think, Dr. Bradley? I think we are, and I'll tell you why. We have vaccinated way too many people. We've literally vaccinated well over 200 million Americans already, not even knowing what the experimental repercussions will be, sir.
Well, you know, I have a faith in God, and I really do believe he's our only relief factor, if you will, when we give consideration to where we are. If you read Isaiah, for example, Isaiah really is a prophet of the last days. I mean, he spoke, you know, like 700 BC, but yet much of what he wrote, while it applied directly to Israel anciently, I think we can read very, you know, easily into it the events of the last days. Isaiah spoke of decimating issues that decimated the population. And, you know, he speaks of, you know, a tithe being left. And he even goes so far as to call it a holy tithe. Well, a holy tithe in the Hebrew idiom is basically a tenth of a tenth, okay? And if only a tenth of a tenth of populations are left, that's a massive die-out. I mean, and I don't know. I guess I considered the decimating wars of the last days with probably nuclear warfare and everything else like that would contribute to that. Well, and it still may yet, and my original assumption from my childhood may actually apply. But when you consider how absolutely universally they're attempting to implement this bio jab, and the unknown criteria and factors that are yet to be experienced, although I fear we have personal knowledge of individuals that have had very, very adverse effects. Now, whether we're at the end of those things or whether it's just a passing issue, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, there is an attempt to make this a universally applied approach. Now, what it boils down to, they're saying, well, you might reduce your infection. You might have less of a, you know, severe reaction, blah, blah, blah. Well, if they came out and they said, we're going to inject everybody in the population with chemotherapy. This is going to be, we're going to put you on radiation therapy. We're going to cut, slice, and dice you, whatever. We're going to put this chemical in your body. On the outside chance, it may prevent you from getting cancer. Now, everybody would say, the heck you say, they'd probably say it stronger than that, the heck you say, that's ludicrous. Now, I personally have known people that have had mastectomies as a preventative kind of prophylactic kind of approach to things, but that's their personal choice to say that we're going to do this on a universal basis where everyone will have to step up to the plate, if you will, and be served this experimental jab. That's unheard of. And when you put it in something like a cancer thing, it's like, holy cow. No, people wouldn't do that. And nowadays,
it's unprecedented tyranny is what it really is, ladies and gentlemen, the likes of which we have never seen in the Republic to date. And that's really the pushback that you're getting from me. You know what? If somebody wants to take a vaccine and they really believe it's in their best interest, hey, I'm not here to stop you. But what we're doing is we're playing games. And the issue really to me is transparency and accountability and actions. And I'll give you an example, Dr. Bradley. Supposedly the approved vaccine is available, but it's not. See, they approved one vaccine, but we're still all getting the experimental vaccine. And if you don't believe me, then I got several questions to kind of put it in perspective for you. Who? Moderna? Who has the approved vaccine?
Well, nobody
Pfizer?
Does. It's not
well,
even out
that's
in the
problem.
Market.
That's the problem. So Pfizer claims they have the approved vaccine, okay? Moderna doesn't. Johnson & Johnson doesn't. So if we have an approved vaccine and all the others are experimental, we should shut down all the experimental ones, which means the only player is Pfizer. Well,
but
the problem.
But it's not in the marketplace.
It's not available. That's what I'm talking about. So even if it was available, there should only be one player, though, if we're honest. Because we would only have the approved, not the experimental vaccine available. So that only there should only be one player. But you still have all three players in the experimental world. And the experimental vaccines are available. But the literally approved vaccine, there is no availability of any kind. And at first, I didn't understand why. Well, number one, it's a different vaccine with different patents and everything else associated with it, even though they lie and say different. But secondarily, though, hey, the laws of the 1986... Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund and all the laws related to that, the vaccines have to be available for children. If not, there's liability for the vaccine companies. That's why they won't use the, quote, approved one, because it's not approved for children. That's why they stick with the experimental, because all the liability's gone. Okay, so the problem with everything that they've done and said regarding this has been a lie, has been a misrepresentation, has been a dishonest delivery of some kind or other. All the way through. Now you've got literally military people being forced to take experimental vaccines. Lawsuits are pending all over the place regarding this. But where do we go from here? I bring up that I don't trust it. I bring up that I don't have confidence. And then what happens is they say, hey, the jab or your job. Now that doesn't apply to me because I'm self-employed. But I'm just saying that's what we've come to in America, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? The real question is this. Is there a worldwide conspiracy to force us all to take the vaccines? And whether you like it or not, that will become the mark of the beast. I don't know that I want to go that far necessarily personally, but you got to start to wonder, because is this end game really not that we have a choice, and if we push back, we can stop this? Is this really the tyranny that they're going to roll out by hook or by crook no matter what? You will all be vaccinated, or you will be completely shut off, literally not a human, not a person anymore, according to the law? Is that where they're going, doctor?
Well, you know, obviously I don't have a crystal ball to predict the exact things, but we can look at trajectories. We can see where the bullet's going to land if you know the direction and the elevation of the target and all those kind of things. You can make some pretty definitive statements, and you know, there's other things yet to unfold. I'm finding, for example, let's just look at the workforce now. First of all, there's a lot of jobs that are going begging because people have been fed at the trough long enough by government mandate or government handouts that they're not willing to go back to work. Second of all, we're hearing all over the place of supply line shortages because of this thing. Third of all, we look at there's places that say we can't serve you or our workforce is down because of the coronavirus. Now, that's a very broad statement. Are they saying everybody's sick, we don't have a workforce that's healthy enough to do it? Or are they saying we have laid off every person that was unwilling to take the vaccine? And so when we say, oh, the hospitals are taxed beyond their capability, well, the fools that run the hospitals have likely laid off those that were unwilling to take the jab. And consequently, it's a self-inflicted wound. They've said, oh, we can't meet the demand because of the corona. Well, the problem is, they said, because you didn't receive the vaccine, we can no longer serve the population that we have historically been able to do so. And so some of these, nuanced statements are such that every time I hear them, I have to say, what does that really mean? Does that mean they have a self-inflicted wound? They've chosen to let their staff and whoever was involved be decimated by their own decision? Or is it really because of sickness? My perspective is that it's not because of the sickness. It's not because their staff is just crawling through the door because they're so sick all the time. No, it's because they've said, we are not going to let people in our doors that'll work for us. And it's just not hospitals, but there's other organizations that I fear have damaged their own ability to even meet their workplace. And certainly the stuff the president of the administration is trying to do would exacerbate that problem. And by the way, you talk about military. What are we doing to our defense forces, our ability to withstand an invasion or an attack? And there's, fortunately, there was 11 SEALs that sued about their religious belief, and they won in court. I mean, obviously, we're going to hear more about this at the Supreme Court level, but it's astounding to me that it's come down to this point where we put the very survival of the republic on kind of risk because of the way everything's happening. And by the way, let me just go a little bit farther with that religious thing. It sounds like we got to take a break, but maybe we can come back to that after the break, because this idea of a religious kind of a pass is being denied at the highest levels of some churches, which I think is absolutely atrocious to think that our conscience can't be protected.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems at all times and in all places is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman on your radio, breaking down the lies and the dishonesty and the manipulation relating to this COVID-19 reality check that we're facing. The COVID's real, folks. People are getting sick and dying. There's no doubt about it, but the vaccines are just as real. And the problem is they told us 800,000+ people are dying because of the COVID, but now we find out they lie, and we don't know how many people died from COVID versus other things, how many people are in the hospital and or dead because of COVID, or who happen to have other comorbidities and other illnesses but die and or are in the hospital and they just happen to have COVID. That's a number that they literally have lied about for over 2 years. And just now are they starting to be forced to admit the truth and the answers. They don't even know what the real numbers are anymore. And they've literally admitted it, folks. So this isn't just my opinion or my thoughts or my whatever. This is reality. All right? This is serious. Now, let me kind of bring up something else that's of interest. These are the people that have lied the whole time. Okay, they've lied just about everything. They've lied about the numbers. They wanted you to believe it was a meltdown. Everybody was in the hospital. Hospitals are just melting down. Look, most of the people that are in the hospital now, it turns out, aren't even in there for COVID. And now we literally fire all the hospital people that won't take the vaccinations. And now we say, golly, we can't take care of or process the people that are sick. It doesn't make any sense. No sense at all, ladies and gentlemen. So think about that and what we're dealing with here, folks. Their dishonesty is creating a credibility crisis. Okay? Women are now hiding jabs in case it affects fertility on dating sites. It's so bad. We told you right at the start, ladies and gentlemen, that this would affect fertility. And they said, oh, no, you guys are crazy. Now they're admitting it's true. Now they're admitting that it's true, that it does affect a woman's cycle. Well, we said that all along. So the next question is, what are they going to admit next? Are they ever going to admit that they were wrong on vaccines? See, I don't think so. You'll have the morgues full before they'll ever admit anything like that. They'll never take accountability for their actions. But Ben Carson, Dr. Malone, I mean, I can go on and on, Dr. Pierre Corey, there's thousands and thousands of frontline doctors who agree with us and disagree with Fauci and the establishment, but they're all being shut down. They're all having their careers absolutely destroyed. It's either the jab or your job. This is serious, folks. And the more they play games and the more evidence we gain, then what? They were basically claiming that we were peddling fake news. Think about that. They said we were peddling fake news and need to be shut down. Now in court, the fact-checking that they're supposed to be doing turns out to be nothing but opinion. That's what Facebook said in court. Yeah, they got caught in another lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I fear that this is going to literally spiral us all down into another civil war if they don't stop their tyranny efforts. I pray that it doesn't happen, but I'm telling you right now, their tyranny. They're literally putting people in prison that did nothing on January the 6th, political prisoners. The people that really perpetrated the crime have been fingered by Revolver.News and many others. We know who perpetrated the crime and created the insurrection. They should be arrested and gone in prison. They're backed by the Justice Department and the FBI. We know this. We've documented it. But see, again, you can't have any accountability. Bill Clinton can literally rape women, and no one's even questioning him. But yet, you and I don't pay your IRS bill, and you're going to lose your house and go to prison. Okay, they're going to create a civil war because now the courts don't even work. You're supposedly having the courts decide about this vaccine forced jab or not right now. It's before the courts. But literally, you have Sotomayor coming out saying there's 100,000 children on ventilators dying in the hospitals that are overwhelmed with children. Turns out to be a lie. They had to correct her. It's less than 3,500 kids, and most of them are not on ventilators at all. And then the next question is, how many of them are there for real COVID, or how many are there for other reasons but just happen to be tested for COVID? It's every bit of it's a lie. And now the Supreme Court, with that liar about children, either she didn't know and she's ignorant, well, then she shouldn't be trying the case if she's that ignorant, or she knows and she perpetuated a lie. And even the lie then crossed even the liberal fact checkers went, whoa, hold on a minute now. Dr. Bradley, are they going to create a civil war? None of us can get any redress of grievances. The system's completely broken.
You know, the we've talked about this before on your show about how, you know, the idea of a general welfare clause, either in the preamble of the Constitution or in Article 1, Section 8, the general welfare thing has nothing whatsoever to do with the dole, redistribution of wealth, and all of these socialist concepts that are being pushed forward. It has everything to do with predictable, stable government. And that's what the intent of the United States Constitution, and of course, all the other republics in the Union, in each state, have their own constitution. The idea was to set limits and bounds. It was to protect against, you know, insurrection. It was to protect against economic upheaval. It was to protect against tyranny of all sorts and flavors. And because delegation of authority was for certain areas to perform in, the national government, the general government, the federal government, however people use that, read the 39th Federalist Paper if you miss that nuance. These things were there to make certain that you could start a business, that you could be pretty confident that if you managed it, you know, appropriately, you'd be able to be successful in it. You could start a family. You could be in a farm. All of these things, the economy, the country, domestically and foreignly, would not be disrupted. But what has happened is we've completely abandoned the idea of the general welfare clause, and we've put all of these kinks in. You know, we talked earlier about Caesar and how he ultimately, the Civil War, this little river he crossed when he was told to leave his army behind and all that kind of stuff, brought him into Italy. The Rubicon was kind of the northern boundary, if you will, of Italy at the time. Anyway, he had a Praetorian Guard. A Praetorian Guard is a palace guard. It's there to maintain power and authority. It has nothing to do with limits and bounds on government. The Praetorian Guard will protect the powers that be. I fear lest that's kind of where the United States sits at this time. We have a Praetorian Guard in the Sotomayors, if you will. The congressmen and senators, the women too. You look at what the governors have done. They are protecting an establishment viewpoint at the expense of truth and principle. And let's just talk for just a second about this religious exemption. We kind of brought it before the break. See, the Marines did not give one single solitary religious exemption to the jab. Now, you got to say, somewhere along the line, somebody's argument could have been. I talked to one individual who has filed a religious exemption in his particular business. He knows of one other guy. The guy put, I don't remember how many pages he said. It was about a dozen, it seems like, of logical reasons why the religious exemption should apply to him. His company turned it down. And then you have very senior religious leaders that say a religious exemption should be out of the question. Well, here's the problem. Religion is not an institution. Religion is an individual God-given belief. Okay, a religion, Jefferson, for example, considered himself a religion of one because he felt his religious beliefs were so unique. They're not. but he considered it because he'd been criticized by some of the priestcrafts, the priests, the priesthood, if you will, of his day, that thought he was a heretic. But the point of the matter is, it was and is an individual God-given right. Religions themselves, institutions, are made possible by the individual God-given right, because individuals are, you know, you can associate in what becomes a church, if you will, if you come together with a bunch of people that believe like you do. That's a church now, okay? But its basis is individual God-given rights. And for someone to say, oh, no, my institution is not going to support the idea, it's not an institutional decision. Now, the state of Utah's constitution, by the way, prohibits the violation of conscience. What is conscience? Okay, it certainly has to be embraceive of religious belief. And for this approach to be done, where conscience is violated, where the very basis of an individual God-given rights has chopped the legs, cut it down, laid it waste, ultimately and finally, the religious institutions, I believe, will find that they've been very short-sighted, and they ultimately and finally will find themselves on thin ice because they have rejected the basis of where that right really is. It's with the individual. Institutions come and go. And so religions that are formed, churches, if you will, that they say, oh, we're a church. We have the right to exist. Do you? Well, that may be so because it's tied to that individual God-given right. But if you chop down that individual God-given right to the point it is eviscerated, sooner or later, somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute. What makes you think you're so sacred, if you will? And I think it's going to cause a problem. I believe that the, okay, well, back in 2016, in 2016, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission put out a 296-page report where their attempt is to limit these God-given rights to as narrow a definition as possible so that government-created rights, like these messed-up sexual status things and all that kind of stuff that they're creating so-called rights for people, can take more preeminence. What we're seeing is an unfolding of this, and if the religions cannot see that, the religions ultimately are going to be damaged by it. And what we're seeing is the Marine Corps, zero religious exemptions. We're seeing in the state of Utah with religious leaders saying, oh, no, this is not something we even need to discuss. I believe that this is a slow but sure, not so slow maybe, a sure way of limiting the definition and scope of individual God-given rights to as narrow a focus as possible so government may have more preeminence. So I think we're on thin ice at every turn, and this Praetorian Guard is helping this happen. It's a palace guard that wants the establishment power holders to continue to hold power. And really, it's un-American, and it's a violation of the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. So, yeah, we're in trouble. And it may ultimately, so far I haven't seen a great deal of people that hold principles sacred willing to stand as tall as they should. You look at, we're coming up on 49 years since Roe v. Wade. Revolutionary concept. You can kill your baby before it's born. And nowadays they're saying, oh, if we lose that right, you'll see revolution. Americans didn't revolt when we started killing babies, but those that want to keep killing them are going to go into revolution if they lose that right. I don't know. We've used up the time again, Sam.
Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where we're going here, but I know this. We need to protect people's religious beliefs, and leaders of churches cannot speak for everyone's belief. If I believe that vaccines are not safe or effective or good for me, and I believe God does not want me to take one, who thinks they have authority to say that that's not my religious belief? Shame on them for suggesting otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, is this agency? Is this an individual quest for a relationship with God? Or do bureaucrats and self-appointed leaders think that they have authorization to speak for everyone's religious belief? God save the Republic!